I tell you, when I came in, I saw Pastor sitting right there. I said, okay, well, I guess I'm not preaching tonight, so that's good. Woo! So I was so surprised when he told me, let me introduce to you the preacher tonight. I was like, oh, I guess I'm preaching tonight. Amen. It's all good. We should be able to preach at any moment. If we are studying our word, you know, and God has commanded us to study his word, we ought to be able to preach. Amen. So I'm going to read to you a passage, if you would stand to honor the word of God, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read a familiar passage here, Matthew 20, verse 30, actually starting at verse 29 through 34. Matthew 20, 29 through 34. Let us read. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, that's Jesus Christ. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, take a look at this. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened.
Amen.
Amen. In verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. I want you to open real quick to Mark chapter 10 verse 4-6. This is a parallel passage, Mark 10 4-6. You know what it says here? And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that, it was Jesus of Nazareth. It's the same story. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again for the privilege tonight to just come here, to worship you, to praise you, to sing songs to you. Lord, to lift you up. Lord, we ask this evening you please be with us. May you please bless your words. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. Hide me behind the cross. May he take the preeminence, Lord God. May he be lifted up. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. So I was saying, this is a very familiar story, how the Lord Jesus Christ, he was departing Jericho. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry, 3 years, he would travel all over the place. And as he was traveling, in many instances, there's always crowds. There's always crowds gathering. There's always this, you know, spectator saying, who is this man? You know, I can see in this message, they're very, very curious. You know, you're probably hearing all kinds of good things that he's preaching. I like what I'm hearing. You know what? Let me hear some more. Maybe I can imagine the people here are asking him so many questions. And here it's saying, a great multitude following him. Now, you know that a lot of people are profess to follow the Lord. A lot of people profess that they're Christians. I'm a believer. You know, there's a difference between a believer and someone who's living for God. There's a difference between someone who professes to believe in God and someone who actually lives for the Lord. There's a difference between someone who say, I am a Christian, and someone who is an actual disciple of the Lord. You know, there's so many people that say, I'm a Christian, but there's very, very few that's willing to pay the price. Here in this story, there's great multitude following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached this message over in Friendship Manor last week. And I was afraid as I was preaching, you know, can they really hear me? Can they really hear me? And I just trusted the Lord that the Lord was working in their hearts, the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. But here in this passage, you can see there's two blind men. Maybe they're just by the wayside. They're not actually following the Lord, but they were just hearing things. They probably heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was performing miracles, how he was preaching about the kingdom of heaven. So many good things. And they want to be part of it. How I'm pretty sure this two blind men heard about him healing the sick, the lepers, making the lame walk. And it's no wonder you have these two blind men. When they heard that Jesus Christ was passing by, he can do something for me. The Lord Jesus Christ can do something for me. And guess what they did? They said, they cried, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. You know what? That makes me wonder, why did they not just first cry out saying, Lord, Lord, please open our eyes. Come, can you please just help us out? I am just wondering, how come the first thing that they cried upon hearing that the Lord was passing by, they were crying. You know what the first thing they cried? Have mercy on us, O Lord. I believe that these blind men realized that the first and foremost, most important thing that they needed was not to have their eyes open, was not to get their physical illness cured. I believe these two blind men, the reason why they first cried out to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked for mercy was because they realized that the greatest need that they have at that very moment was God's mercy. I think they recognized that their need to be saved. Do you know that men today are actually blind at birth? I'm not talking about physical blindness. I know Pastor just spoke about him almost being totally blind. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4. The Bible says here, it's talking about those who are not saved, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible describes them as regards to their condition? Here's what the Bible says. in whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, if you're not saved today, you are blind. You may think you're able to see because you have this physical eyes. You're able to, you know, look at things. But in truth, you are spiritually blinded if you're not saved. If you have never been born again, you are spiritually blind. And here's another one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you your real condition. Ephesians 4. Take a look at verse 18. Now, this whole thing is talking about Gentiles, the unsaved world. Look at this, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. The Bible says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That is your condition today. You may be able to, you may have the physical eyesight, but if you are not saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what your real condition is? You're blind. You're not just blind mentally, but your heart is blinded. So that is the condition of every man upon birth. The moment that you realize that you're sinning against a holy God, the Bible says you're blind. And that's the whole reason why I think these two blind men, the very first thing that they cried out for was not God, Jesus. Can you please open our eyes? Because we're blind. Can't you see? No, they said, have mercy on us, thou son of David. Have mercy. And here's another thing. Not just that we're, you know, unsaved folks are blind. You know that these blind men, I can imagine when you're blind, there's not much you can do. There's really no occupation. It's hard to work, right? So they're just right there by the wayside. They're begging. They're beggars. And I can imagine as beggars, folks that are just begging for food and for whatever that they need. They have their rags. That's what they wear, the rags. That's another thing that the Bible tells us, that when it comes to our righteousnesses, in Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 6, the Bible tells us that our righteousnesses, our, are as filthy rags. If you are counting on your righteousness to get you to heaven, if you're counting on your righteousnesses to get your sins forgiven, or maybe outweigh the bad, the Bible says those are filthy rags. And that is the condition of these two blind men. That's the whole reason why they cried out saying, have mercy. Have mercy. Because they realize their condition. And not only that they realize their condition, here's what they said. Have mercy on us, O Lord. You know what they recognize? Here's another thing that they recognize. Not only did they recognize their need, they recognize the Lord. That He is the only one. He is the only one that can provide that greatest need that they have at that moment. Here's what they said. Oh Lord. You know that in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, here's what the Bible says. I'm sure you guys are familiar with this verse. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's exactly what these beggars, what these blind men did. They said, have mercy, O Lord. O Lord. They recognized the Lord. They recognized the Savior. They recognized the one that can actually solve the problem that they have. You know, that's what's wrong with society today. That instead of going to the one, the God Almighty, who actually can do something, they go to something else. Instead of, you know, all this tragic thing happening, you know, all around us, you know, all this shooting, all this crime, all this what have you, you name it. You know who they look to? Well, the government got to do this. Let's have more programs. Let's have more this and that. Instead of going to God, amen, as we should, they go to all kinds of things that don't even work. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It didn't say, trust in government. Trust in your school teachers. Trust in this and that. Trust in this social program. Trust in this, your psychologist. Trust in, no, it doesn't say that. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. And lean up unto thine own understanding. That much is clear. And here's exactly what they did. They called out to the Lord. They said, Lord, thou son of David. Thou son of David. And take a look at their cry. Not only that they recognize their need, that they recognize, acknowledge who the Lord is, look at the sincerity of their cry. Look at the sincerity of their cry. He said, have mercy on us, Lord. And look at they recognize their pitiful condition. And you know what? It's proper. You know, it's a proper thing to recognize the Lord. You know, it is a proper thing to do to actually acknowledge the Lord. It is not something we should be ashamed of. You know, when somebody sing a song here and preaches the word, it is just proper when you agree and say, amen, praise the Lord. It is just proper to acknowledge who God is. No matter where you are, maybe at work, when something good happens to you, it is just proper to say, thank you, Lord. When somebody praises you for, that's a good job, Brother George. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for giving me this ability. Thank God for giving me all these tools, the strength, the opportunity. Thank God for giving me the opportunity to serve in the ministry. You know, it's not about you. And it's not about me. It is just proper to recognize that it is God whom we serve. It is just proper to recognize that it is God who gives us the strength, the abilities. That's exactly what these blind men did. It was sincere, their cry. It was pitiful because they recognized their condition, but it was proper. They recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the Lord. And look at this, verse 32. And you know what happened? And Jesus stood still and called them. How is that possible when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of all this multitude? He's surrounded by this group of people. I don't know how many, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, following him, asking him questions. Lord, can you teach us about this? What do you think about the emperor? I don't know what they're asking. But you know what? In the midst of the multitude, these two blind men crying from afar, and the Lord stood still and heard. You know, don't think that the Lord cannot hear your cry. No matter what trials you're going through, no matter what hardships, illness that you're experiencing at this moment, no matter what it is, don't you think that the Lord doesn't hear you? If you are sincere with your cry, you know that even before the Lord, before you even cry out to the Lord for help, he already knows. He already knows, and he can hear, and he will hear you. He may not answer you at that moment, right away, but trust me, he will stand still and hear. And guess what the Lord did? Called him. He called him. You know, when the Lord sees your heart crying out to him, maybe a child of God going through some tough times, you call out to God, guess what the Lord will do? He will commune with you. He will start to call you, my child. I understand completely. Tell me about it. The Bible says that he is our high priest, that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he went through it. He thirsted, he suffered hunger, he was tempted, he walked this earth. He does understand whatever it is you're going through. And exactly what the Lord did here, he said he stood still, heard her cry, and said, and he called him, "What will ye that I shall do unto you? What will ye that I shall do unto you?" That's the question. Now, before we look at the answer to that question, I want you to just take a note of what happened when these people, these blind men, kept crying out to the Lord. Take a look at your Bible. This is something that we can learn from. Verse 31. Take a look at it. Verse 31. What happened when they start to cry out to the Lord? The Bible says, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Rebuked them because they should hold their peace. You know what's something about the Christianity when you're following the Lord, when you're trying to serve him? And our missionary can attest to this. Anyone who served in the ministry, When you're doing something for the Lord, here comes opposition. Here comes all these mockery. Well, don't be a fanatic. Oh, you going to church again? Why? Why? That's a whole day. Come on, that's a waste of time. There's a Sunday, Super Bowl or some football. Let's just watch. Opposition. When you're trying to do something for the Lord, you say, that's too much. Just relax a bit, You got this whole week working. Why come to church Sunday? Why carry your Bible around? No, you can't say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in public. You can't pray in the name of Christ. That's just, that's not politically correct. No, you cannot teach your kids to fear God. Just go ahead and, teach them early on sexual education. That's okay. But you cannot teach them the Bible. That's too much. Opposition. Opposition. And something that we should expect. In a way, some of us Christians are not feeling any oppositions. You know why some of us are not feeling the persecutions? Even though the Lord is so clear in Peter that those who live godly in Christ shall what? Suffer persecution. You know why some of us don't? We're having a comfortable life. Living an incognito Christians. Nobody knows that you're a Christian. No one at work. Oh man, I didn't know he's a Christian. Yeah, because you do, that's a good job hiding it. Go along with the crowd because you don't like opposition. You don't like opposition. Why should we be ashamed of the one who died for us? Why should we be ashamed? Let me tell you, the fear of man is a snare. That's the problem of most Christians today. We fear man more than we fear God. It's not just the problem of the unsaved world, because there's just no fear of God before their eyes. That's exactly what the Bible says. But it is a shame that Christians who profess to be Christians and know God actually fear more men than God. Yeah, go eat in some restaurant and then see how Christians go right to their food and no prayer. Or pray is, kind of pray in secret. Why is that? Because they're ashamed. We're ashamed of opposition. We're afraid of opposition. But that's exactly what you should expect when you start to live for the Lord. Take a look at this. When these two blind men were being rebuked by the crowd, you know what they did? They cried the more. This is exactly what we need to do. In face of opposition, hey, you can't be saying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in your prayer. Do that. Just do that. Amen? When they say, when they mock you because of your faith, when they say it's a waste of time coming to church, just continue coming to church. Invite them to church. Amen? Amen. So the question was asked, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Don't you think the Lord already knew what they were going to ask, what they're asking for? What these two blind men needed? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ ask? Why did we have to ask? Take a look at that. What will ye that I shall do unto you? Isn't that interesting? The God of heaven, who knows everything, still asks you, what will you do? What will you have me to do for you? You know, that's why would Christ still ask that question? It's not because he had no idea what they're gonna answer. It's not because the Lord just didn't know their needs. I think that the reason why the Lord still asked that question was that to show you that He's a God who loves to commune with you. He tells us Christians that Christians ought to pray. Amen? Ought to talk to the Lord. And not have this attitude, well, God already knows. He already knows my needs. So, you know what? Go ahead, still pray. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, here's what I need. And He already knows. But He still wants you to commune with Him, to have fellowship with Him, to spend time with Him. That's why He asks. Say, pray without ceasing. Why? God wants prayers. God wants you to come to Him. Amen? God wants you to talk to Him. And it's no surprise what they answer him. He said, they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. That our eyes may be open. I want to see. But you know, I know because of their physical illness, their infirmity, of course they want their eyes to be open. But I really think that the main reason why they want their eyes to be open, I don't know how long they've been begging. They've probably been blind since birth. So why ask for their eyes to be open then? I think they want to see the Lord face to face. Lord, open my eyes. Oh, I want to see the world. I want to see the great, great things. I want to see food. I want to see... No, I really think. Since they recognize who God is, they know who the Lord Jesus Christ is at that moment. Because they humbled themselves and they recognized their need. They knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could forgive their sin. They want their eyes to be open so they could see the Lord. Are you eager to see Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, we have Christians that are not that excited to have the Lord come back. I don't know about you. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more exciting than to see Jesus Christ come back. No more pain. No more sorrow. Those are great things. I will live in heaven, streets of gold. No more tears, nothing. No wheelchairs, nothing. But you know what the greatest thing is? I want to see Jesus. I want to be with him. Amen? No greater need. No greater, desire than to see Jesus. If you love more your kids than Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong with our Christianity.
Right.
I hear some Christians pray, "Lord, don't come back yet because I want to see my grandkids. Lord, don't come back yet because I want to do this and do that." Or there's something wrong. Amen? And here's the last thing I want to give to you. Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them. You see? You know, we have a God who is compassionate. Our God is not a God who's just out there somewhere that we does not is not involved at all in our lives, who has no care about what we go through. The Lord says here, and the Bible says, Jesus had compassion on them. We have a compassionate Savior. We have a merciful God. And here, look at this. And touch their eyes. You know why? You know why he touched their eyes? Don't you think the Lord can just say, "Go open your eyes. Let him be open." He could just say those things, and they'd be open. Okay, restore your eyesight. He could just go do all that. No problem. But you know why the Lord touched your eyes? Because I think the Lord wants them to feel in a personal way his love. Amen? You know, we have a loving God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We have a loving God. We have a God who is personal. We don't have a God who's just God of just multitude. No, he's a personal God.
Amen.
You know, Christianity is not just group thing. It is personal relationship. He knows you by name. He knows exactly who you are in a personal way. He knows your aches and your pains, all those hardships, everything that you go through from day one, even before you're born. He knows you personally. And immediately their eyes receive sight. You know, when the Lord does something, it is immediate. You know, the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you open up your heart to him and say, "Have mercy on me. I am a sinner." The moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately, he makes you born again. When he answers, there's immediate impact. He gives you the answer and the solution immediately when he does answer. And I'm sure most of us have done this before already. We have received him and we have receive that eternal life. We become born again if you're a child of God tonight. Here's one last thing I want to leave with you here. I want to challenge you. Not only that they receive their sight, they followed him. So here's a question for you tonight, Christians. You have been born again. I don't know how long you have been a Christian. That you say you are, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. Question is, are you actually following him? Amen. Maybe you've been Christian 40, 50 years. And the fire is not as hot anymore. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep serving the Lord. Keep praising him. Keep giving him glory. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. With a piano playing softly, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let me ask you this question. Maybe tonight, you have not truly been born again. You know what that means? That means you are blinded. Spiritually blinded. Don't you want your eyes to be open tonight? Only Jesus Christ can open your eyes. And all you have to do is just do what those blind men did. You know what they did? They cried out to him. So if you are not saved tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that means that if you were to die tonight, you are going to pay for your sins in hell. That's what it means. That's what being blinded spiritually means. Won't you like your eyes to be open? In other words, won't you like your sins to be forgiven? Just cry out to the Lord. With no one looking around, if anyone here tonight who has not received Christ and would like to receive him tonight, please raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone tonight who's never been born again? I don't see any raised hand. Maybe we're all Christians tonight. Maybe there was a time that you came to the Lord and cried out to him and recognized that you are a sinner and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe that actually happened. But here's a question for you. Are you still following him? How is your Christian life? Are you getting oppositions? Or maybe the reason why you're not getting any oppositions, no challenges in your life, is maybe because you're becoming comfortable living with the world. We are supposed to live set apart for Christ. Christians, why don't you renew your fellowship with Christ? I'll give you a few moments just to pray. Thank you. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be embarrassed to praise God in public, to be called a Christian. Once again, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for the blood that was shed on the cross. And thank you for Jesus Christ rising from the grave. And we do pray that he comes back soon. That is our prayer. Please help us to live pleasing to you. Please forgive us if we've been living a compromised life. Sometimes we are embarrassed. Please forgive us. Help us to not be ashamed. Help us to live for you. Again, thank you for this evening. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our missionaries. Again, we lift up to you those who are sick. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I ask you to pray for Rodrigo Munar. We'll be heading over there tonight to pick him up from the hospital. Pray for me for safety. I'll be traveling for about 3 hours. She texted. Oh, okay. Tomorrow. Okay. I guess they're not releasing him yet tonight. So, but do pray for him, Rodrigo Munar, brother missionary, and sister Jeannie. If you could be by the foyer so they could, our church members can thank you and welcome you. Okay. You are dismissed for the night.
Yeah. Okay.